to see couples getting engaged. I feel like we've been on a wedding reel. Like it's just been going and going. That's a good thing, and wonderful to be part of all of that. And again, just wonderful day yesterday for those of you who were here. Just a really, really great ceremony. Really enjoyed that, and there was just a lot of joy. And that's always a good thing in a wedding, right? You know, sometimes you go to weddings and there's a lot of emotion that's pent up, and sometimes there's a lot of crying and sobbing, but there was a lot of laughter, and that's a good thing, and a lot of joy. And I think my favorite part of the wedding was when Simon misread the photographer's cue, and instead of, you know, moving out of the way, he went lower to go the same height as Asher. But that was my favorite part. Anyway, John chapter 6 this morning. It's great to be back. I appreciate the prayers of the church for our time away. And certainly Malachi and I had a wonderful time just exploring the U.S. there, but ministering as well to different churches and just meeting with different people along the way. And as you saw last week, Brother Skelly wanted to greet you, but then also Pastor Murphy as well. And then got to meet with another friend of ours. Lord willing, he'll come out for us one time. Perhaps for a camp or maybe a family camp, see how the Lord leads. But Brother Charlie Clark, who's been instrumental in my life, we headed over, we took a subway over to New Jersey, and then met up with his extended family, his daughter and son-in-law, who are close friends of ours, and just got to meet with them and share a little bit about the need here in Australia. And and then with Brother Clark, we met in New York, and he met us where we were staying. But just began to as I sat with these different men and different people over there, just what was on my heart was a need here in Australia, and just communicated to them, hopefully well enough, just the need, and I want to just continue to pray for laborers to our field. And there's a great need for that here in our nation as we look to not just survive, but thrive for the Lord, right, as we see the day coming. But one of the things that I got to be part of during that whole time, I didn't know it was Memorial Day for them there, and it's very similar to our Anzac Day. It's really a commemoration of those who sacrificed their lives over the course of their history. And so I got to talk a little bit and reflect a little bit about some of the things that really I connected with as far as that nation. And, you know, one of the opportunities that my dad got was to work for the U.S. Navy as a local apprentice over there in Subic Bay in the Philippines. And because of that, he was able to travel over here to Australia and do some training, and because of that, saw the great opportunity and the great life that he could give us over here. And God allowed by his grace for us to come to this great nation of ours of Australia. And so in some way there was a contribution there. And I just began to think about the fact that, you know, in our lives, we're never really just a summary of our own achievements. But actually, in many ways, there are those who have contributed and given to us. And much of who we are, much of what we have in our hands, are things that have been given to us. Things that by God's grace, of course, overall, but then also by the kindness of others and maybe even by the responsibility of others, we've been given in hand. You think about even probably your own faith. And, you know, I grew up, thankfully and gladly, in a home that was a Christian home, and yet there were those who, through responsibility, passed the gospel message onto my parents, and because of that they got saved. But because of their salvation, they brought us up in church, and by the age of 7 I understood my need for a savior, and I got saved. I trusted Christ as my savior, but that wasn't something I earned. It's not something that any of us earned. It was something given us, right? So even the whole gospel message, the very reason why we can have confidence in the fact that we're saved and we have the good news of salvation, it's something given us. And you think about the heritage perhaps that you have. You think about the education that you have gotten by, through whatever means. And all of us here have different things in hand, but much of it has been given us. And I think there's a great picture here of a situation like that in this familiar story. We see a lad. The Bible says that there's the lad that came in verse 9, which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And he came along to probably a familiar scene here in the life of the Lord Jesus in his early ministry. He was going about, and there was always a multitude following him. And the Bible says here in this particular situation, the reason was because they had heard of the miracles, and so wanting to see a little bit of what was happening in the life of the Lord Jesus in his ministry, many people came. He had crossed to the other side here and had crossed the Sea of Tiberias. And now again in verse 5, we read earlier that when Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. We'll know later that there was at least 5,000 men there, and it didn't really do all of the head count. There was 5,000 men plus all of the women and the children that were there. But you understand that this was a great multitude, and the concern that the Lord Jesus shared was this: how are we going to feed these people? Right? You ever been in a situation where maybe you put out an invitation and more people came than you planned for, and there you are panicking? It's the worst feeling, right, to feel like you're going to underfeed people. Why? We know this: when people are underfed, people get grumpy, right? And there's always the pressure of making sure we're feeding people. And, you know, one of the things we enjoyed over in the US was the graduation season. And I went over there to preach a graduation message to a graduating class and minister over in Virginia. And one of the traditions that they have that we don't have is they have graduation parties. And they just put on a spread, and we got invited to several. We didn't realize how much we were going to eat. I should have dieted more before ahead of time, but there was a lot of food coming our way. And there was one particular one, a family is very gracious. They just opened their home up as a graduation party for the whole church for 6 hours. And people just came and went, and, you know, we sat there for about 4 of the 6 hours. We didn't know really hardly anyone. But they were just coming through, and it was amazing amount of food. But I was thinking, imagine if they ran out. Imagine if they came and they came in the 5th hour through to the 6th, and they only had, you know, only 1 tray of beef brisket. You know, that's what they had. They had about 6, 7, 8 trays. But imagine if you run out. There's a pressure when you're the host. There's a pressure of when they come for you. And they came certainly for the Lord Jesus. But you understand, the Lord Jesus, in his heart for people, he always had a concern on so many levels, didn't he? It wasn't like he was just concerned about the fact that they were there. He was concerned about the fact that they were there and they were hungry. And Jesus has a great concern for the multitude who came. And so it prompts him to ask the question. He asked this question aloud, and really he says it to Philip, but I think he said it loud enough so that there were those around him that would have heard this. He says this: when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And it's a pretty basic thing. You know, you think about hospitality, and again, one of the staples of diet is bread. You could at least have bread. And he's saying, if we could at least have bread to feed the multitude, and, you know, we live in a day where there's such variety of bread, and we can be spoiled for choice, and we have our preference. You know, we have the white bread, and we have rye, and we have multigrain, and, you know, everyone's personal favorite, sourdough, that's for us anyway. But you have all of these, and Jesus wasn't specifying. He was just saying, how can we buy enough bread for these people? You know, there's this multitude that had come to listen in and had come to be part of what was going on. And it says here in verse 6 that he didn't ask that because he didn't know the answer. He asked that because he knew what he was going to do. Right? In verse 6 he says, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. It wasn't as if Jesus had a real question here. He was trying to prompt some thoughts. He was trying to prompt Philip and perhaps those other disciples around him and those surrounding them about the fact that there was a need, about the fact that there was a lack, a fact that there was a need here that the company of people that were around him, and he was saying, I've got something I'm going to do. There's a plan here, but he was trying to prove them. Notice in verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now, this was a small fortune back in the day. This was a substantial amount of money, and he was saying, that's not even going to be enough. Some estimate that it's about a quarter of the year's worth of wages if you combine those around there. And he was saying, there's a lot of money that's going to be involved in able to be able to meet the need of the multitude there. And he's saying, even if we had that, it's not sufficient for them that every one of them may take a little. And he's not saying that everyone was going to indulge and have a whole heap of bread and be overfilled. He was saying, even if they had a little, this amount wouldn't be enough. So you're understanding this wasn't just a small crowd. There was 5,000 men plus women and children. Some estimate that there was probably about 15,000 people there. That's a lot of people. You know, you could fit 15,000 people at the Australian Open. That's the maximum capacity at the Rod Laver Arena. You know, we were just over, and you've, perhaps many of you have gone to bigger stadiums than that, and you understand the immensity of the people there, but they were there on that day, a great amount of people. And then as they go on, one of his disciples in verse 8, Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But notice the question Andrew asks, but what are they among so many? He's saying there's a little boy here who, you know, had come, and we don't know the circumstances of which he came. Perhaps he came alone. Perhaps he came with mum and dad. Perhaps he came with his mum and dad and brothers and sisters. And part of the portion of what they had brought was the meal for the day to sustain them. But what he had in his hand was given him. What he had was something that probably he didn't get himself. It was just there that he had in his hand. And there he had these 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. And the question was asked by Andrew, what is that going to do among so many here that have the need? And yet, what we find is that this was sufficient for the need. And what we find is that the thing that was given him was the very thing that God was going to use to answer the question of a multitude. You know, many times when there's a need, many times when something comes up as far as a question perhaps that God has to have an answer for, oftentimes the answer is just like the multitude. There's a bit of silence. There's a bit of just sort of rumbling around about the need. And yet I'm glad that at least in this multitude, there was one who would come forward with the humbleness of what he had, with the little that he had. And you know, I think there's a lot of things that are handed to us that are meant to be for our benefit. You know, for this little boy, this lad here, the Bible says that he had the 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But you know what? He didn't come that day because he thought there might be a need. You know, he came that day because he had a need. He came that day, and to sustain him, his parents, perhaps, his siblings, maybe, those around him, perhaps, had given him something in his hand for him to be just sustained for the day. You think about 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, it's not too significant. It was just something that he could have in his hand, and yet there he was. There he was with that need being met for himself. And yet so often the very things that are given in our hands for ourselves, it's actually, there's something more than that when we start to listen in to what God has in need for our lives. You know, when he started to listen in to the rumblings of the multitude because of a question that Jesus asked, he recognized that it wasn't just for him that day, it was going to be to meet the need of a multitude. And I want you to think about yourself this morning. And I was thinking about the very things that God has put in my hand, the things that God has given me over the course of my life. And I'm thinking about, you know, my experiences, I'm thinking about the education that I've received. I'm thinking about the investment of others in the Bible knowledge and the Bible instruction. I'm thinking about the physical provisional things that have been provided me over the course of my life. And the daily benefits that God bestows upon me that are given to me. And with some effort, no doubt. With some hard work at times, but it overall given to me. And I think about that and how God, in all of His goodness and His grace, has given me all of that and has sustained me. But I'm not alone in that. All of us here are in the same boat. We all have something in hand. We all have experiences. We all have knowledge. We all have something that God has blessed us with through the generosity of others and just the provision of His faithfulness each day. And we have something that we have in our hands. Something's been given us. And so we're all in the same boat this morning. We're all like the multitude. It wasn't just the lad that had something in his hand. There were many of those that had something. And yet, when the time comes, and if we're listening to the voice of God at times, we might discover that the thing given to us is for the very service of others. And you know, many times I've tried to think about the sustenance that God has given me myself. There's been times when there's been those that have been very generous to us and they've met a need in our lives. And yet there's been so many times where God has said, you know, that very thing that I've given you to sustain, it's also the thing that I'm going to use for others. It's also the thing that's got that I'm going to use to answer the question of a multitude. And I hope that you would be open like this lad here to recognize perhaps that you could be the answer to the question of a multitude today. That maybe in your life, God has given some things in your hand so that you, if you're willing to listen and be sensitive to the voice of God, would also be willing to give that over to God's hand. And I want to give you a couple of thoughts here this morning as we think about what's been given you. I hope you're thinking about the things that's been given you, the experiences, the life that's been given, the very things that make up who you are, the very things that sustain you each day. I hope that you'd be thinking about what has been given you. And this morning, I want to look at, firstly, to remember the reason for what you've been given. You know, this was a special time. Really, the Bible tells us the time of the year that it was. It was around the Feast of the Passover. If you see in the book of John, three times the Feast of the Passover is mentioned. And in this Feast of the Passover, you know perhaps the story of that. It was a commemoration and really a celebration of when the time the Hebrews were rescued from the angel of death. You understand that the 10 plagues were about to end and the last one was the firstborn was going to be taken because of the resistance and the hardness of Pharaoh's heart. And so God tells the nation there, you know, if your firstborn is going to survive, I'm going to need you to slaughter a lamb. And I'm going to need you to paint the lintels of your doors and the doorposts. And when the angel of death sees that, he's going to pass over you. And boy, what a tremendous type and picture of salvation. Right? The lamb had to be slain and his blood had to be applied. And listen, if you're saved, that's why you're saved, because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And great picture, and this was at the time of the Feast of the Passover. There was a lot of activity in that day. There was those who got together as families. They got some who went over to Jerusalem and did different things as part of the celebration. But the point was, during this time, this lad and perhaps his family, they decided to go and be with Jesus, to go and hear about and see for themselves all that Jesus was doing. And what they were doing was they wanted to get close to Jesus. They wanted to see Jesus in all that He was. And this feast of the Jews that commemorates the deliverance of Israel from that time in Egypt, from that angel of death through the sacrificed lamb, they didn't want to see just the picture. They wanted to see who he was himself. And so they went to see Jesus. And you know, Jesus so often during these times used these festivals to reveal a little more of himself to those present. And behind in the multitude that was with him, there was this one lad who perhaps with his parents went and wanted to see and wanted to be with Jesus. And you know, as part of that, perhaps you imagine the need. They recognize if we're going to go over there, we're going to need some sort of lunch. We're going to need some sort of food. And so they prepared. Why? Because really they wanted to be where Jesus was. They were providing so that the lad could be closer to Jesus. All of that was so that they could go. And they were to encourage that little one to be where Jesus is and to see and know him. And I think about so much that has been given us as people, really God's point of it is to draw us closer to our Savior himself. You know, so much of what I know my parents provided me was so that I could draw closer to God and draw closer to my Savior. You know why they worked? You know why they sacrificed? You know why they took the time on a Sunday and they didn't take the time to do other things? They took the time to get us ready. My sisters and I, each Sunday, they got us changed, they got us ready, they provided us clothes. Why? Because they wanted to take us to church because they knew Jesus was there. And all of those provisions that we as parents now, the decisions we make, the things that we invest into our children, why? Because all of it isn't just to bless them, it's to bless them to be closer to Jesus. Right? And all of the things actually that God gives us in our hand is to really to point us to who he is. And the fact is, the lad's desire really firstly was partnered with his supply. You know, the reason he could be there, he was interested, perhaps drawn in by the fact that Jesus was in Galilee. Perhaps rather than celebrating in Jerusalem, he understood that now Jesus was there and he had heard about the miracles. And you can imagine the excitement that was sort of drumming into that whole area. And you can imagine this little lad maybe waking up one morning and he's saying, "Mom and Dad, hey, I heard Jesus is just a walk away. Do you think we could go today?" And you imagine, you know, it was a holiday. It was a feast of the Passover. And you know what parents like to do on a holiday? They like to sleep in, right? And so you imagine the mom and the dad wiping the sleep dust off their eyes like, what's going on? "Mom and Dad, Jesus is in town." And they're like, "Oh, you want to go?" And the lad's like, "Yeah, I want to go." And they said, "Well, we're not really ready for that." And they said, "When are we going to go? When are we ever going to see Jesus again?" And you imagine that whole scene playing out, and suddenly the excitement in that child's voice motivated mom and dad to get ready. Maybe they got they just sort of brushed up a little bit, got as much food as they could. And you know, they gave this little portion to this boy. Hey, listen, this is our lunch, but this is your lunch. Why? Because they wanted to encourage him to be with Jesus. And listen, there's so much of God's goodness in our life that really is for us, but really it's to also just remind us and then encourage us to be close to Jesus. There was a lad that came amid the multitude of 5,000 men and additionally the women and the children, but he was there with something in hand. He was there with provision. And along the way, someone gave him something that was meant to be for his supply, for the fact that he was going with Jesus. You know, one of the great encouragements that I see is when parents invest and when people invest in others, just to encourage them about getting closer to the Lord. You know, I remember many years ago, we had been working in youth ministry for quite a while, and there was. You know, part of our desire was to really see young people just follow the Lord. We wanted them to get a sense of the honor it was to serve God. And so, you know, one of the things that we had prayed for over and over again was for young men to be called to the ministry. And finally, a couple of young men stepped forward, and they felt the call of the Lord on their lives. And two particular ones, they said, you know, we feel like to just grow closer to the Lord and to grow in our ability to minister. We feel God's calling us to Bible college. Now, you know, Bible college isn't for everyone. It's a great step. It's a great way. But as we prayed together and as we discerned God's will, it was indeed. It was a good thing for them to go. And I remember a particular Sunday, and it was going to be their last Sunday with us as a church. And, you know, they sat there. I wanted to do something special for them, and I didn't know quite what. I was going to give them a little Bible to take with them with a little inscription in there. But I remember one of or two of the men came up to me and they said, "Pastor, don't you think we should bless them a little bit? You know, it's going to be expensive heading over there, and what if we take up an offering right now?" And you know, I didn't know. I was sort of like, "Well, we could do that." And a couple of other men came and a couple of others and said, "We'd like to do that." And just there, right on the spot, we called up an offering, and then a whole heap of people sacrificed and gave and sent those two young men with a bit of a love offering to go into Bible college. And I think about that. I think about the heart behind that. I think about the fact that, you know, that was hard-earned and that was well-earned money in the pockets of those men. But because of their heart to encourage some who wanted to follow Jesus, who had a great call on their lives and felt a great sense of the need to enter into ministry, they didn't want to just leave them with their enthusiasm. They wanted to leave them with an encouragement and a supply for the desire that they had. And I hope that you know, we would be mindful of the fact that there's some things that perhaps God has given us in our hands that we can encourage those that perhaps have a great desire to have a closer walk. And you know what God does? God raises up people to bless us in hand so that we could go further with the Lord. And God does that over the course of time. And the lad's attendance came with that encouragement. And I want to remind you that really all of the good things in our lives comes from a Father who gives us perfect gifts. You know, the things that we have in our hands, it's just come from the Father of lights. The Bible tells us every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know, when we need to view the supply in our hand as a gift from God. And we need to view all of that as God's blessing upon our lives. And this little lad with his five barley loaves and two fishes, it was all God's supply and it was a gift from God. The Bible tells us in Romans 2:4, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" You know, the purpose of God's goodness in our lives is to turn our eyes to him. It's meant to turn our eyes to the Savior. And you know, so many take what they have and forget why they were given that. They forget the goodness of God is to turn them to the Savior. And I think sometimes, you know, we need to come with an attitude of trying to encourage others. I think about another time we were had the privilege of sending another one of our young men over to Sri Lanka. And we, my wife and I, we decided we're going to go with him and just encourage him. He was a single young man, very, very early in his ministry. And we headed over there and we were part of his commissioning service. You know, I was gifted a Bible many years ago. It was a really nice one. It was my preaching Bible. And just before I got up to preach, the Lord spoke to my heart about giving that Bible over. And you know, I really wrestled with that. Who has a special Bible here? Right? There should be many more, right? I love my Bible. And I was given that for many years. I preached out of it for many, many sermons that I had prepared through it. But the Lord spoke to me about giving that over. Why? Because I think there was a bit of, he needed encouraging. And I remember just with, as I finished preaching, I called him up and we were going to pray over him. And I handed him that Bible. And he began to tear up. Because he recalled the times when, as a young person, it was that Bible that I opened when God spoke to him. It was that Bible that I was reading when God called him to the ministry. It was that Bible that I had opened and I had preached, and God confirmed his call to Sri Lanka. And he understood it wasn't just any old Bible. It was the Bible that God had used in his life. And I remember handing it over, and he, with tears in his eyes, and he just said, "Are you sure?" And I said, "Mate, I wish I wasn't, but I am sure. God told me to give it to you." And, you know, I just remember that encouragement for him as he, you know, we left him, and he's still there, continued to minister. He ministered to our young people last year during our youth camp, and he had that Bible. And you know, sometimes a little thing like that, a little thing where you're saying, it's not just for me, it's for an encouragement to someone, can go a long way. See, the lad's attendance came with that encouragement. And I hope that sometimes, you know, as God supplies the Word of God through the course of the week, and as I prepare, and, you know, many times as I open the Word of God through the course of the week, before it gets to you, it gets to me. And it gets a supply to me, and I read through, and even this very message, I was thinking about this as I was just traveling, and God brought to mind again this very story, and I began to read it again and began to think about the implications of it and the implications in my own life. And you know, the preaching is like that. It's something that I get to give to you, but it was a supply to me first. And I hope that you would take this packed lunch for the week and allow it to just feed you and help you. And I pray that God will multiply it for you. But God had to give it to me first. And I want to tell you that there's many things that God's given us in our hand. And really, it's just to keep us going. But perhaps it's to keep someone else going too. It's perhaps to sustain them as it's sustained you as well. But notice, secondly, that if this is going to be something that the thing given in your hand is going to bless someone else, you're going to listen to the voice of God amidst a noisy environment. You're going to need to listen. And again, there was a great company there. The Bible will clarify later on that there was 5,000. And you imagine there that the whole area was hanging for every word that Jesus spoke. The Bible doesn't record for us exactly what he spoke about, but it does record the request. And the request was for bread. And you imagine that. You understand that there was all of these people there, and when there's people, there's noise, right? When there's people, there's conversations happening. When there's people, there's all of this, you know, little conversations happening in this corner and that corner. And you imagine the noise of all of those 15,000 people. And no doubt you've been to different stadiums. Recently, we were able to go to a baseball game over there. And if you know my son, he loves sport, right? And he does that because I love sport. I like to watch. And so we went to got the opportunity. It was cheaper than a basketball game, so we went to a baseball game, and we went into a Yankee Stadium, and it's amazing. You know, you don't really appreciate how diehard fans are until you go to Yankee Stadium, right? And the noise of the crowd when a home run was hit. You know, we got there, and actually the line was so long to get in, we missed the first innings. Right, and no, don't worry, there's 9 innings in baseball, all right? And they complain about cricket. 2 innings, 9 innings, come on. But it was so noisy, but even from outside the stadium, when that home run was hit, the roar of the stadium, it shook that stadium. It was amazing. And just the noise of the people there. And then we got in, and there was all these people lining up for food. There was vendors walking up and down the aisle. There was noise everywhere. And, you know, let alone the game itself. But you think about that, but I remember sitting there, and about 4 rows in front of us, there was someone having a conversation. And I remember sitting there and going, I can hear what they're talking about. Now, I wasn't eavesdropping, all right? I just heard a little bit here and there. It was a little interesting. And yet, in the roar of the stadium, about 3 meters away, I could still hear clearly. And what I'm saying is that you know, if you're willing to listen, you'll still hear in the midst of the noise. And what happened was, in this moment, a question was asked by Jesus. But you know, he wasn't isolated in asking that question. No, he was in the midst of the multitude. He was asking a question that he knew the answer for, but someone had to listen. Someone had to respond to the question. Now, I'm going to say that even in a large crowd like that, that when Jesus asked that question to Philip, he was within earshot of a good amount of people that would have heard that. There were those around that would have heard, hey, Jesus is looking for bread. There were those that perhaps heard a little more of the detail of that conversation between Philip and Jesus, but they were in earshot. They were meant to listen. And maybe, just maybe, they had much more than what that lad had. But there was only really two types of people in that crowd: those who were willing to listen and those who weren't. And many times we miss out on the very thing that God has for us, the very purpose that perhaps God has for the very thing that he's given in your hand, because perhaps in the first place we're not willing to listen like we should. Perhaps we're looking around and we're seeing if someone else heard the very thing that we're hearing. And we're hoping they would answer ahead of time before we can answer. Perhaps we're just going about and there's going to be all of this noise in this world, and we're going to enter a noisy world with the stuff that we have, and there will be perhaps voices that will just drown out the voice of Jesus in our lives. There will be those, perhaps, who are busy talking about the issue and the need when they themselves could meet the very issue and the very need. And perhaps there will be voices that maybe even like Andrew, who we read about in verse 9, might be a voice of discouragement. You think about the question that was asked even after the lad came forward. In verse 8, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And then the question was asked, but what are they among so many? And what he was saying was this: you know, I'm glad you came forward, but you know, you don't have enough. Yeah, I don't know about you, but at least the lad came forward. Alas, at least with the little that he had, he was willing. But then the question was asked, what are they among so many? You know, sometimes we've had a call out. And we've had a call out for volunteers, and sometimes there's someone who's willing to come forward to meet a bit of that, and maybe they're not quite what you were picturing. You know, don't discount the fact that maybe it was God and the voice of God that person was listening to. You know, many times people don't fit the bill in our understanding. You know, I certainly wasn't. I think about the conference just down the road years ago that I was attending, and you know, our pastor would bring us over here to Kippering every year for the big summer conference. And there was about 450 people in that auditorium that evening. And there was probably about 100 young people out of that, and I was one of them. But honestly, I was a pretty shy kid. I just didn't. But I remember just that evening, the preaching and the power of the Word of God. And I felt like out of 450 young people, God was speaking to insignificant little me. And I remember coming forward, and then I remember going back home and having that testimony time at church, and I remember declaring some things before the church. And I remember then there were some that were mostly encouraging, but I remember one voice that was discouraging. You know what they said? You? God called you? Really? You think God will use you? And I said, well, yeah, yeah, I think so. I feel like that's what God said. And I remember just that out of the sea of people there, that voice of discouragement, whether it's one or the few, can really knock you off. And here we see Andrew just ask that question, and maybe perhaps he wasn't meaning to, but really, what are they among so many? There will be voices that will diminish your willingness and even the thing that is given you. You know, how does this lunch compare is really what he was asking about the need. And there will be voices that deride. And perhaps as he stepped forward and as this lad came and with his little packet compared to maybe the bigger parcels of food that everyone else had, they, perhaps some would ask why, as if he could do anything. And there will be voices that deride. And I'm saying in a world where there's many voices, there's one voice that needs to stand out the most in your heart. And that one voice is the voice of the Lord. That one voice is found in His Word. That one voice is found in the Spirit of God, that small, still small voice in your heart. And that's the voice that you need to listen to. And you'll enter into a noisy world, but you're going to need to get good at listening if you're going to know what you're supposed to do with what you have in your hand. You know, you'll need to grow to listen for the voice of God. You see, Jesus was the one that asked the question. But you notice he wasn't specific, was he? He said, when Jesus saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now, we know the next verse, we know that he knew himself what he would do. And here's what happens so often, is God will speak something general. You know, when we read the Word of God, it's a book written to us, but it's written to a multitude, isn't it? You know, when it's preaching, you know, here's how I approach it. I never think of anyone. I'm not thinking of anyone this morning. I'm just trying to faithfully preach what God gave me. And you know what it is? God's going to give something general, but it's going to be for you. You see, he put out a question that was general. How are we going to buy, where are we going to find bread for so that all will eat? And you know what? Unknown to the disciples, there was one lad that really heard that question. It was a general question. And you know, when the time comes, and perhaps as we head into Sundays, perhaps as we head into our conference, there's going to be just general truth given. But maybe it's for you. You're going to need to get good at listening. You know, he'll speak about a need. And so often we like to hear about the wonders of God's Word and the wonders of who He is. And then when it comes to it, though, and He presents a need, then suddenly we start to get hard of hearing. When the call is out for those who will serve, when the call is out for those who will provide, when the call is out for those that will step up and fill a gap, and when there's a need that's real to be met, then suddenly those active listeners become purposeful in their not hearing. Suddenly it becomes hard to hear the Lord and the voice of the Lord. Suddenly it becomes difficult to listen about that. But so often, what God will do is He'll highlight a need. And perhaps it's the very things in your hand that can meet that need. Perhaps it's the very things, and perhaps it'll be you that God is speaking to even this morning. And perhaps it'll be you when the graphics are put up and the need of a nation and the need of a field and the need of the time is right here. And maybe it's you this morning that God's speaking to. Hey, don't fall. Don't allow your ears to be shut when it's something to do. You know, the Word of God isn't information. It's for transformation. The Word of God isn't just word, it's deed. And we're supposed to come to a place where we're looking and we're listening, not just for information and good things to know. No, we're meant to be listening in, perhaps for a need to be met. Perhaps for there a place for you to find in service. And here, I'm thankful that even in the midst of the multitude, there were those who no doubt had greater means. There were those perhaps in that multitude of people could have maybe had the 200 penny worth. But it was this little lad, and it was him that God was speaking to. You see, you'll need to grow to listen to the voice of God, and you're going to need to listen amidst the noise if you're going to find your purpose. And then lastly, you're going to need to surrender what you've been given amid apathy. See, that's the problem with the multitude. The multitude was apathetic. You think about the percentages here. 1 out of 15,000 responded. I wonder if that's an accurate picture of our Christianity today. I wonder if that's a real commentary on the nature of man today. 1 out of 15,000. You know, I'm saying that it wasn't just the lad that brought lunch that day. It wasn't just him that had some bread and some fish. There was probably some who had more than that. They probably had some, maybe they had some cheese. Maybe they had some meats. Maybe they had other livestock with them. Maybe there were some who had packed enough for their family and more. But when the call came out, here's what happened. It was apathy. No one else came forward. No one else was willing to hear. And when he asked that question, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew that what he would do. You know what he knew? He knew that the lad was there. He knew that the lad was there. No one else did. The disciples had to go searching for him. And the disciples, Andrew, finally goes, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. You know, I think about those servants who suddenly, as the need became apparent, started to walk around. Started to perhaps say, hey, did you bring any lunch today? No, okay. Hey, sorry to bother you guys. I know you're just having a date here. But do you have any lunch? No, sorry, okay. So, and he moved on, and oh, look at this lovely couple. You guys are definitely on a date. No, you definitely don't have money. So, you know, so. And you imagine the disciples went through the crowd asking, hey, there's Jesus has a need. Would you have? And you imagine they went through that whole multitude and only one came. You know what that multitude was? It was apathetic. They were apathetic to the need. They were apathetic to the request of Jesus. They were apathetic, and they perhaps listened, but they didn't listen to act. And there were many there. And not many responded. Some perhaps never even listened. Some just ignored because, well, I have what I have, and it's for me. And maybe some of you here, it's you're in that place. Maybe you're here, and maybe you're starting to understand. Perhaps the things that God's given you, it's maybe you're God's answer to the problem of multitude. And maybe that what's in your hand simply needs to be surrendered to meet that need. And Jesus might have a question that he's planned for you to be the answer for. So don't look around for someone else to meet it. And here's what I'm saying, be ready with what you have. Be ready with what you have. What you have is what you have. You know, that lad could have looked around. He could have looked around at someone else's larger portion. He could have looked around and he said, hey, that guy has 6 loaves and 3 fishes. He could have said, no, look at that guy. He's got 3 baskets full. But what we know is this. There wasn't enough. It was just what he had. And so maybe some hear that you have what you have, but be ready with what you have. Be ready. It isn't about what others have. It's what you have. And notice this. He was willing to give it to Jesus. Notice again when they were, and Jesus took the loaves in verse 11. So he had made the men to sit down, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And so imagine that whole action there that the lad had to take. He had to give it over into Jesus' hand. You know, you think about that lad, maybe in his zealousness, maybe in his ignorance, maybe he could have started to spread the bread himself. Maybe he could have walked around and said, hey, take a little bite. Hey, here's a little bit of fish. And in his own power, he could have done a little. But you know what? In God's hand, he fed the whole multitude. You know where what's been given you is best used? It's best used in God's hand. You know, so often we think we can be the answer. We'll do what we can in our own power. We can do the things that we do with our own experience and with our own. But you know where it's best used? You want to feed a multitude? Give it over to Jesus' hand. Surrender it. You know, if you're going to make an impact in your community and you're going to try to win those that are around you, and then perhaps give them over, give yourself over to the Lord first. And the lad had to give over to Jesus. It could only multiply when it was given to him. It wasn't to be in his own hand. The lad couldn't have broken it up, this meal, in his own power, but it was giving it over to Jesus that multiplied it. But then lastly, I want to say, be expecting to see what he will do. Because sometimes we do it faithlessly. Sometimes we enact those things and we surrender, but we're faithless. We do it out of duty. We don't do it out of a sense of what God can do. And here the lad gave it over, and we know the rest of the story. Notice verse 12, and when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. You know, they fed and then there was plenty left. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. And here's the point. You know, you think about the attitude of the lad. He gave, but there was an expectation. And listen, that's an attitude of faith. And firstly, you've got to see what you have as enough. It's got to be enough, but it's only enough in Jesus' hands. It's not enough in yours. It's enough in his hands. And then you've got to see what you have is purposeful for his plan. And what happened was, in the end, you know what? He fed himself, but he fed much more. And in the end, you know who got the glory? Jesus got the glory. You know, we don't know what happened with those fragments. Some say that as there were 12 baskets, that the 12 disciples carried those baskets perhaps to the lad's home. You imagine he came with 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, and then in return. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's what happened, because that's what Jesus does. You know, when we give to him and we give of what's been given to us, you know what he does? He multiplies it over and above what we could ask or think. And he gives more to us than we could. And you know that old adage, we can't outgive God. But listen, when we give to him, it wouldn't be a surprise to me if the Lord did that, because he so often gives more to us than what we initially give to him. But the fragments, the point I'm making, was dispersed. And what we know is that all was fed, and in the end, Jesus was glorified. Listen, you know, in our lives, at the end of the day, the greatest purpose of our lives is to glorify God. And we can't do it when we keep things in our hand. We only do it when we give it over. We only do it when we surrender it into his hands. And by faith, we see it multiplied to feed the multitude, to feed more than what we could, and to see more done for his glory and for his work than we can ever have thought or dreamed. And then in the end, God gets the glory. And when it comes to that, really that's all we want, as we want him to be lifted up. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the time. And Lord, no doubt, as we think about the goodness that you've given us, Lord. All of us here, we have been so blessed, Lord. Lord, there's not a one here that, Lord, when it comes down to it, we can't think of many things that you've blessed us with, that many others who in our lives have given over to us. Lord, firstly, to be a blessing and a benefit to us. But Lord, I pray that we would see with greater light. Lord, with greater purpose, that the things given to us in your hand can be the answer to the multitude.